We're here.
Welcome to all you who are mourning today.
Happy Monday to all of our friends and family out there. Happy
the dozens and dozens who are not watching now, but maybe we'll tune into the podcast later on.
But really, it's Happy Victory Monday to all those in the state of Florida.
I mean, it was a good Sunday if you are a Buccaneers, Jaguars, or Dolphins fan. How weird is it?
Wow.
That
wow.
Of the three, the only blowout was the Jaguars.
And we were on the other side of the blowout. Like normally we're on the receiving end. It's going to get bad. It's going to get ugly.
But no, this was not that. This was the Jaguars are blowing people out.
We were blowing people out. You know, Andrew, I only got flicked off one time. I was very impressed.
How? At your own home stadium?
There was a very kind Colts couple in front of me. I simply wished them a safe travel to the airport and back home as they walked out midway through the fourth quarter. I was very confused. It was midway through. There was still a whole half of a quarter of football left. They were walking out.
They paid good money for those tickets since they were basically leaving.
I was trying to be kind. You know my heart.
Tim,
you know my spirit.
I know that at sporting events, you willingly lose your testimony.
That is not true. I was being kind. I was showing the fruit of the spirit. I was given the middle finger in return.
Well,
Andrew, I say all that because yesterday was Sunday.
And this right here?
This is the morning after. Look what happened.
We got to sing the theme song now.
I don't think we do. I think what happened was, this is the issue.
Oh, you updated the software.
I updated the software.
Okay, so we just got to talk about something until Dropbox updates. We did the thing. We said yesterday was Sunday and then you...
Here's the problem. It's not in Dropbox. It's on my desktop.
Oh.
You know what that means?
I don't know what that means.
It means that if there is like that 5 minutes of inactivity, it automatically uploads
to the cloud. Puts it to the cloud, yeah.
So the file that we were trying to get at is currently attempting to be downloaded. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that's what it's what's going for here.
So do we need to sing our own theme song today?
I don't think we do. I just think we need to say it one more time because yesterday was Sunday.
Oh, and this time it's really true that
this
the morning after.
Is the morning after.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show, a caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
Patrick, we've only been doing this for 199 episodes. So glad you've been able to join us after all these years.
We're getting familiar again. We're on a relatively new software.
I mean,
you're quarterbacking these days.
I'm attempting to. Look, I'm Tim. This is Andrew. We do this just about every single
but
Monday.
But not next Monday.
Here's the deal. This is 199, which means the next episode is episode 200.
200. You've been waiting for this for 199 episodes.
We've been planning this for months. We have guest speakers lined up. Unfortunately, there was some scheduling conflicts.
We had some scheduling errors that have nothing to do with my kids having a doctor's appointment.
Of course not.
It's just that we know that this is...
Look, we have...
It's a big deal.
We have honorariums to pay.
Yes,
we're flying in people from all over the country.
We've got sponsors lining up.
Bob Goff's sending his balloons.
I think you're going to get a medal.
I might get a medal.
I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a really big deal. So we want all four of you to come and be a part.
Look, everyone's watching the Queen stuff
today.
Yeah,
it's a big deal. I've been tuned into E! News on Instagram and seeing who's wearing what. Who's allowed to wear what? No.
Actually.
No. But, I mean, I understand why people would be.
Patrick says he just needed a break from Andrew's office chaos. Ronald Long, you're our buddy.
Hey, buddy. How are you? Ronald sent me a text message last night. I didn't reply because I was writing a paper. So, hey, buddy. And then when I went to reply, he had his Do Not Disturb on, and so I was like, okay.
I was in a club in high school called Best Buddies.
How many people were in the club?
You don't know about Best Buddies?
No.
You have a local chapter right here. The Ark is very much.
Oh, yes. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
It was one of my favorite clubs in high school.
I believe it.
You got to befriend someone and you wrote letters like a pen pal.
Yeah.
And there'd be face-to-face meetings at the school every now and then.
Who was your buddy?
I don't remember his name now.
Wow. It's, clearly was not your best buddy.
It's been a few years since high school, buddy.
It has. Timmy, here's what happened to me yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It was Sunday.
It's the end of the day. We have our wonderful, glorious fellowship hall time after service.
Sure.
Probably two of our three biggest, hey, if they're in charge of bringing food this week, you want to be there. And they happened to be teaming up and doing it together, so it was quite the spread. I had a buddy of mine who lives in New York City. He and his wife showed up unannounced. They do, you know, whenever they're okay. From – he grew up here, went to Palm Harbor University High School. So when he's in town visiting his family, he shows up on Sunday morning, and I never knew it was coming. And it was really exciting.
It's a fun surprise.
So it was great.
He's one of those friends that shows up, doesn't tell you he's there, but then actually comes to see you.
Yeah.
Sometimes friends will be in town.
They're like, hey, man, I'm in town.
Or just not
even tell you. Let's get together.
Yeah. Or just not even tell you.
That happened to me once. It was me. I'm sorry. Earl, if you're watching, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. It was a great Sunday. It was probably not – we're usually in the fellowship hall a little bit late, but the Buccaneers game was at 1 o'clock. The Rays game was at 1:10. I was in a hurry to get home, and so I'm doing the final walkthrough of the church. The guy who is our facility lockup, the building guy, he lost a battle to cancer a couple weeks ago. So, yeah. But we hadn't asked somebody else to be our lockup person because that would be admitting that he wasn't going to make it. And so I've been – the lockup guy. Now it's time to be like, all right, hey, we need someone to be the official lockup guy.
I get it.
So I was going to check, and we have aluminum doors from 1960, original to our worship center.
Wow.
They go out to the street, so there's no
– you're not going to find doors of that quality anymore.
There's no weather strip between them, though. There's a little bit of an air gap. And the thing about air gaps is little critters can crawl through those air gaps.
They could crawl. They could slither.
So I am going to check the door, and I look down, and at the door, sunning himself or herself, I don't know how to tell the difference, is about a 4-foot snake just inside the worship center, had crawled in through the gap of the door. Until I go to get it, I'm like trying to like be as slow walking as I can to not startle it.
You attempted to pick up the snake?
No, I was trying to open the door to get it out. And it slithers under, I don't know what you would call it, like a credenza. We've got this several hundred pound piece of furniture that we have like our coffee bars set up on. But it is
– it's large.
It is a 3 to 4 man job to move this thing. And I thought it was flush against the ground. It was not. And the snake somehow goes underneath that thing. And I don't know, can snakes go in reverse? Is there a backup mode for a snake? Is he or she going to get to the point where like the middle touches and realize it can't get any farther and just die under there? It can't – I know it can't get back out through the door, but there is a snake in the worship center.
Laura says, I'll be visiting Lakeview next Sunday. Laura, we have our services at 9:30 and 11. Guaranteed snake-free.
Laura, we missed you.
We have not been practicing with snakes for quite some time. Apparently, Andrew is now.
We're in the book of Acts. And so I'm like, oh, if this is a few weeks later, Paul could be picking up the snake, throwing it into the fire.
Could have worked.
But I'm like, what do I like, – what
CJ says burn it down.
What is my responsibility – this week, what due diligence do I have to do? Do I have to somehow lift up this ridiculously heavy piece of furniture? I'm going to need a lever of some kind. I have no idea, but I saw, like, I called my wife on the phone. She was here in my office with my kids, and I was like, you need to come to the worship center right now. She came in as the snake was like slithering, and I'd love to say that I was very manly and just standing there, but I was like, because there was a snake 2 inches from my feet slithering under a piece of furniture. So what do I need to do between now and next Sunday? Otherwise, you know, like when the band is playing and the bass is going and the floor is vibrating, that snake is going to come out next Sunday morning. And
Patrick says snake in the worship center happens at every service.
I'm very scared. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I will go pick up my son. He is a bit of a snake handler. He got bit by a snake a few years back, and ever since then he's just
not afraid of him.
He's not afraid. The snake bite bled.
I was gonna say it's a black racer, so it's not venomous.
That's what bit him.
But it's still a snake in the worship center. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
They like small rodents.
They
could we lure him out?
That's what I was wondering. Like, do I get a freeze-dried rat and just – but then the worship center smells like freeze-dried rats. Also, when I was trying to move
the
credenza, I found a dead lizard because, again, critters can get in there.
They can.
And it doesn't smell. Like if there's a rodent that's dead in your space, you can tell.
Yeah, lizards
smell. So what I'm wondering is lizards and snakes, if they're cold-blooded, do they not smell when they're – I don't
– the snake might not stink.
So
I've never smelled snake.
We're starting a building project right now, And eventually that credenza is going to be out of there in the next few months. So when they pick it up to move it, are they going to find a brood of vipers? I don't know what's going to happen. But
it's possible that we're going to need to build some sort of snake pit for these snakes to go in.
I'm terrified. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, this we have a guy who's a member of our church who is like a critter guy. He always has an alligator or baby raccoons. Church
recommending sticky traps. Could he slither on top of something sticky?
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
We're going to have to trap this snake.
Do you want to try to move the credenza with me before you go to Chick-fil-A?
I might have to do that today.
Okay.
We're going to have to go out. We'll document it.
We'll scream.
Check our Instagram
girls.
Story later. We will be documenting every inch of this. Patrick, of course, yes. Snake pit, deacon's meeting, all the same thing.
Okay. Timmy, you've got things to talk about.
I've had a sports-filled weekend, Andrew.
Really,
it's been a sports-filled week. I have. So in my house, we've typically said no to club sports. It's not that I'm against club sports. It's just when you have five kids, you kind of have to draw the line somewhere.
I have a kid who's constantly asking to join his kids, his buddies, like whatever teams. And I'm like, how many nights a week do they practice?
Right. That becomes the issue.
We're in a household of six. Mommy and daddy both work. Yeah.
So what I have said yes to, and they've known this their entire lives, is once you get into middle school, which at our school starts in fifth grade.
School sports, baby.
They offer school sports. Now, what I love about school sports is there's a beginning and an ending. It's not this year round. I travel all over the world. Mm.
Hey, if we keep winning, we keep playing.
Yes. The season ends at some point. However, what Steph and I did not realize is that at some point we're going to have three kids in middle school at the same time. So it's this year. So this is the perfect storm. We have a fifth grader, a sixth grader, and an eighth grader, all three of which are now playing middle school sports.
And are on different teams.
They're all on three different teams.
The eighth grade girl and the fifth grade girl do not overlap.
There's a varsity volleyball, a JV volleyball, and a varsity / JV soccer because Aaron made both teams, so he can play for both teams. Which
he's gonna be in great shape here in a couple weeks.
He has 18 soccer games.
That's a lot of soccer games.
That's every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday
for 6 weeks
for the entire season. So it was a very sports-filled week/weekend for us as a Miller family. Emily was in a volleyball tournament
at my kid's school. I love that zero. Melissa had never seen it before.
I love that gym.
My kid goes to school there. Melissa saw the gym on your Instagram story. He's like, is that really the gym at Landon School?
It's very nice.
It's a very nice gym. And my son might never step foot into it. He has zero desire. I'm trying.
We were told by some of the coaching staff that this was going to be a rebuilding year for Emily's volleyball team. They were wrong.
They were. I saw Emily serving in a medal game. I don't know what medal it was.
That was to get to the medal. So the medal match itself was on the line. We got to the bronze medal match. Won game one. They were up by seven in game two, only to give it up, and then lost game three. So, for the record, North Bay did beat Skycrest in one game.
How'd that make you feel?
I mean, I was basically walking on clouds, even though we lost the next two.
Oh, middle school sports.
If you know the area, anytime you take down a certain Skycrest,
there's a juggernaut out there.
It's a good feeling.
The entire gymnasium
heard my voice. We'll just say that.
So did you lose your testimony more at the Jaguars game yesterday that you skipped church for or at your kids' sporting events this
weekend? Speaking of this sports-filled weekend, I've been planning this trip for a while.
You have?
Set up a guest preacher.
You're one of those pastors that shows up at your own church maybe 40, 45 times a year.
That is not true. This was my first Sunday missed of 2022.
Okay.
So I have had Sundays where I don't preach, but I've been there.
I'm really proud of you.
My first Sunday where I was not physically there was yesterday, September 18th.
CJ wants to know if you got flipped off at the volleyball match as well.
There were a few parents who weren't thrilled with me at the volleyball match, but there were no inappropriate hand gestures at the volleyball match. So yesterday I was not at Lakeview for the first time all year. It was an odd feeling. I watched Lakeview online via YouTube on the way to the Jaguars game. I was worshiping with my Lakeview family.
And by that, you mean you were checking to make sure the volunteers didn't screw anything up.
I was checking to make sure I didn't screw anything up because it's always on us to set up the live stream. So if there was any screw ups, it wasn't going to be on them. It was going to be on me for forgetting to do something. So I triple checked everything. I mean, you know the feeling. You've missed a few Sundays.
Terrifying. I have rented a hotspot from the library to go up to and sat out in the woods in Arkansas to try to make sure I could fix whatever on the fly needed to be fixed.
And there was a bit more in this service. I had three.
You had video elements?
I had three elders in there doing stuff, one of which did it by a video. I had a missionary who was guest preaching. Mm. I asked him well in advance if he wanted to either preach through the series that we're doing or if he wanted to do his own thing. And he said, I've got something on my heart. Would it be okay if you guys took a break from John for a week? I thought, you know what? This is a great time for a 1 week breather from John, and we'll pick it back up next week. But it was a really nice Sunday. There were no fires to put out, at least not that I'm aware of. If there were, maybe I'll hear about them today.
I'm sure. I mean, I've been sitting next to you for 45 minutes and your phone hasn't gone off yet. So
I assume
that's
that
probably a good thing.
My volunteer running cameras, he said they had to reset purpose enter one time right before the service. But other than that, everything was smooth. It was a good feeling because I think you and I have both had issues in the past where when things go wrong on that live stream, which again,
what do you do?
A few years ago, this wasn't a thing. You missed a Sunday. You didn't know what happened until someone told you. But now you can actually see it live, and there's literally nothing you can do. Nobody had their mic on in the bathroom, which has happened before when I was there.
The idea of resetting ProPresenter right before a service starts terrifies me. And I realize that we're kind of the – I don't know if we're the low-tech or the 90s tech version.
Right.
We don't have ProPresenter doing the lower thirds. We have picture-in-picture.
You get that PIP.
And so I hit this little button right here. And but input one in the worship center is the PowerPoint screen. And so that's what we do. And so I never have to reset ProPresenter. And I hear you talk – regularly about ProPresenter crapping out on you and you've got to reset it.
And updates.
And that terrifies me.
It is scary, but the software is Premiere. But yes, there's issues when you're wirelessly talking to a different computer.
Yeah.
Over the same network from time to time. But if you're okay to stomach, I might need to do a reset right before we start the service.
Why do all of these softwares and hardwares in Blackmagic's case, why do they have all of their updates scheduled to happen on Saturdays and Sundays? And I don't know.
They forget about church.
I was going to say, but ProPresenter was written for church.
I know.
ProPresenter was written for church, and I don't imagine there are a whole lot of video studios using, you know, especially like the smaller of the ATEM devices.
We typically don't push updates on Saturday or Sunday, but I think what happens with a lot of churches is they'll come in on a Sunday morning for worship practice and be like, oh, there's an update. And they'll hit them like, oh no.
It's going to be ready in 4 hours.
Yeah.
I try to check during the week.
Same. Usually Wednesday.
Thursday-ish. I'll turn on the computer and I'll click it.
Yeah.
But why is it always on Sunday morning that the updates are happening? It drives me nuts.
Andrew, I wanted to reach back a bit into the youth sports
about
topic.
The snakes.
Because you and I were both youth pastors for a long time.
For a very long time.
So I don't want to say battled, because I don't feel like I ever battled youth sports, but I do know youth pastors who really struggled with embracing youth sports because every now and then, or maybe all the time, a kid would have to miss youth group to participate in youth sports. So what's your take on that? Is it okay to miss youth group on occasion for a sport, or is that bad parenting?
I don't know that it's bad parenting. It's prioritizing. I would say if you are regularly missing youth group for a sport but are actively engaged in Sunday morning, that's a different conversation.
Agreed.
Is youth group the church?
Mm-hmm.
I think our dear friend Vody Bachman would have some things to say about that.
Yep.
And I'm not where he is, but I grew up in a family where I played 1 year of club soccer.
Yep.
And it was no, you've got issues on Wednesday night. As a family, our Wednesday nights are at church. So you either find a team that's cool with this, and then at that, I think I was a junior in high school that year, and I was like, why am I doing this? I didn't need to. It was an itch I wanted to scratch to see if I could hack it, and I did, and I was like, okay, cool. But then after that, I was like, I don't need to. And I was also a junior, so it was my senior year. I was 18. I had a girlfriend. I didn't need to be giving any more of my time to play for a team that I wasn't going to keep in touch with any of the
guys.
This is
why we made our family decision. Again, we go to a Christian school, so obviously there will never be practice or games on a Wednesday. So
same, my kids are at a Christian school, and I am hoping that I can keep my current third grader holding out until he is in middle school to then do all the school sports. But I think it's a family priority thing. I've had parents sit me down and say, hey, my son needs to choose between travel baseball or youth group, and because, you know, grades are suffering, yada, yada, yada. And that's one of those things where ultimately your kid's discipleship is your responsibility as a parent.
Right.
If you are going to have, you know, donuts with dad and a Bible study with your kid once a week, that's going to be more profitable than youth group. I'm not going to argue with you.
Well, that's to Stephanie's point. What if you're actively missing youth group to study for high school level tests in middle school? So we've had some very difficult tests at the beginning of this year for my kids. Mm-hmm. And we have told our kids, hey, you study up on Wednesday. If you don't feel ready for tests on Thursday, we're okay with you saying, I need to study some more to miss tonight. And it happened. And Emily, my oldest, she was not happy, but, you know, with some tears in her eyes, she said last week, Dad, I can't go to youth group tonight. I'm not ready for this test.
That is every bit as bad of parenting as letting kids miss for sports.
Yeah. I mean, for us,
if missing for sports is bad parenting, then so is missing for studying. It's either a priority or it's not. And clearly, your kid's spiritual development is not as big of a priority to you guys as an English test.
I guess not.
I don't know what subject it is.
I think it was science.
Listen, girls don't do STEM careers anyway. Why do you care?
Science is tough this year, bro.
I wouldn't know. I went to a Christian college. I haven't taken a science class since. We stopped science class at Noah and the Ark. Am I right?
Here we go. CJ's right? Chiming in. This is what I was waiting for. 90% of our youth are athletes. We have a small group attending church in the fall, so we decided to meet them where they're at. Love this. And we are feeding, Andrew, every sports team, band, and cheerleaders at the high school. Luckily, we only have one school district.
I think that's a great thing. Who says that, you know, I've spending a whole lot of time in Acts these days. Mm-hmm. Nowhere does Paul talk about the sanctity of Wednesday nights. So
I don't see it either.
I get the assembling together at the Saints. You want your kid to be a part of the church. I want my kids to be a part of a youth group. I am currently putting my youth pastor hat back on.
I know you are.
To be a youth pastor for my middle schooler, because we don't have anyone in that role at our church right now. I get the importance of it, but sometimes you need to reassess and say, hey, Sunday night makes more sense for this season of our church or in our ministry.
Sure.
Or if you know that you're going to be missing out on half of your kids, then change up the schedule. Guess what? Mom and dad have the kids there on Sunday morning. What if youth group is from noon until 2 with a lunch after church on Sunday?
That's not a bad idea.
There's nothing sacred about Wednesday night other than in our evangelical American culture, we've decided Wednesday night is a church night. So you shouldn't give kids homework or have games scheduled, which.
But I'm with you. We don't have middle or high school programming on Sunday mornings for just this reason. So that way our teenagers can be an active part of Sunday morning. And when my kids get to fifth, sixth grade, they come to church every Sunday. Stephanie's just reminding you, Andrew, that we do have a kid trying to get into a really good high school. And this is part of that drill because,
well, listen,
they're great. We've already started the application process. Their grades matter, it turns out.
I've been told firsthand by the executive pastor at that church that if there's any issues, I should just call him.
Okay.
When it's my kid's time. So
Ronald says,
I'll sell you his number.
Saw something that said the amount of time that will be spent on the activity should be relative to the amount of time that'll be part of their life.
Okay. I'm with you, but
okay. I mean, back to CJ's argument, we're having more of an issue. This is classic. With the local FCA chapter being, quote, the church for many kids and not connecting them to a church. So we don't have on here parachurch versus church ministries, but I mean, we could dabble in that topic.
We could. We've dabbled before.
Down that road before. So why wouldn't FCA point kids to church?
Because if they're doing the same kind of thing, then they lose their funding if more kids go to the church. I love many parachurch organizations, Young Life, FCA, you name it. They're wonderful when they're working with the church. If they're competing with the church, that's an issue. But again, if you are saying, you know, as
Jake says, same here, but it's Young Life.
If we are going to say Wednesday night is the hill that we're going to die on,
yeah.
And as a church, our programming is geared for the family night to be Wednesday. We're going to have Awana. We're going to have youth group. We're going to have adult small groups, all family members. There's a place for you on Wednesday night.
Sure.
And the school district isn't on board with that, but Young Life or FCA or somebody else is offering programming during the week that the kids can get to, then maybe that's on the church for not changing up their programming. If it's not Sunday morning, I think it should be on the table. But
Ronald says, oh, there's
I think there's also a lot of FCA leaders that are trying to build at any cost, no matter what it does to the church, which is not.
Ronald says, there's a reason I only did Young Life for 2 years. They are great, but my area, and he's specific here with this chapter, they were not getting kids plugged into church.
Yeah, because funding comes from attendance. And if kids are – and the big thing with Young Life in particular, not so much FCA, is camp. The big number that they depend on is how many kids did you take to camp.
Really?
So yeah, their camps are huge, and their camps are wonderful and well done, and the facilities are excellent. The content isn't exactly the deepest at a lot of young and that's intentional. Yeah. They have a, hey, here's an entry level camp, and then we have like a deeper discipleship leadership style camp that we do once
when
kids
get to be a 2.0 Christian, you can come to this camp.
But part of their funding is based on how many kids they bring to camp. So if I'm going to send my kid to Young Life and to youth group, but I have money for one camp and Young Life is subsidizing their camp and it's got awesome activities and all these other things, or I can send my kid to church camp that's going to be $400-500 a week, whatever it's going to be, that's a tough decision. And so Young Life goes out of their way to say, how do we get more kids to camp? But they also said, you know, we want to get kids plugged into the church, but they would prefer that the kids choose Young Life camp over church camp.
Didn't we have a guest on the show?
We did. Was a Young Life employee, and yeah, she's wonderful, but is no longer a Young Life employee.
I see. Andrew, one of the joys of being lead pastor, senior pastor at a local church, and particularly a smaller church setting like we are both at, is being able to minister from birth to the grave,
all things to all people.
We it's why on Mondays we can talk youth ministry all the way up to senior adult ministry.
We can, Timmy. We had an outreach event at our church on Saturday morning, and this was not the outreach event where it's a, hey, there's a bounce house and free hot dogs. That's kind of like what our VBS is for our community.
True.
But we had an event called Ducks in a Row.
Okay.
We had,
did lots of puppies show up?
No puppies showed up, but we had some ducks, like rubber duckies and stuff, not actual ducks.
Lots of Jeep owners were there?
No Jeep owners. That's not true. There was one Jeep. There was a vintage.
He wanted another rubber ducky.
He did. I get it. But Timmy, we had an event where a family law estate planning attorney came and did a presentation on, here are some questions you need to be asking. Here's what you need to get your ducks in a row.
You want to get some young families in the doors of your church? This is the event? No, it's not.
It is not the event. Although there were three families with kids in first grade or younger in attendance.
Wow.
And so, you know,
they wanted to get their ducks in a row.
But, well, what is your plan if you and Steph get hit by a bus? Like, do you have that plan in writing? Is it?
We do. The problem is when we wrote it, we had three kids.
Exactly.
So this is an issue.
And so,
Steph, we might need to get our ducks.
You might need to get your. I've got a card for. But so, like, this is not the super sexy get everybody out there in
the
community.
Chapter 7.
That's chapter 7. But it was a surprisingly successful event. I was not expecting nearly as many people to show up and to be as engaged. But
did you have coffee, donuts?
We had coffee, donuts, and then she brought cupcakes with little ducks on them. The attorney did.
I like that.
And it was a great event because we said it's kind of like offering Financial Peace University, which Lakeview is doing right now.
We do a virtual one every year.
Here is a way that people that aren't necessarily going to be showing up on Sunday morning but are in our community, here's a way that we can say, hey, we care about you and your well-being. And
I like it.
It was there were several people I had never met before that were at this event, which was a very cool thing. So that was not something that I was expecting, something else I wasn't expecting, which was not cool. I get it, but it was heartbreaking. I had a member of our church come up to me in the fellowship hall yesterday, and I was like, he usually is not one to like wait to talk to me.
He's, so you knew, and that you knew.
Yeah,
as a pastor, when you see that person waiting in the line, there's always like a line.
Yeah,
and
the queue.
In the queue, and you know that they don't normally stay after to chat. Normally, they'll just talk to me during the week. Then it's like, okay, something's up.
And he wanted to tell me that it would be his last Sunday attending regularly. Mm. And this was not,
because of your preaching. because you sit down.
He wanted me to know it was not because of me. He is older. Right after I started here, he had given up driving, and his family got him a little motorized scooter. He lives maybe half mile from the church, and so he takes his motorized scooter and he comes in.
That's cool.
Every Sunday,
rides in right in the doors.
He was just saying that, you know, at his age, he's been having a hard time hearing the service for quite some time, and now he's having a hard time seeing.
That's right, CJ. He actually stopped attending because of Andrew's microphone cord.
It was the mic cable that did it. But it was just so sad, and I get
that
it.
Is sad.
He's about my grandfather's age, and my grandfather up in Columbus, Ohio, is the same way. He has given up driving. He does not live nearly as close to his church as this gentleman does ours, and so him getting there on a scooter or anything else is not an option. And so my pop-up has basically said, hey, for this last season of my life, I'm going to have to worship from home.
Wow.
And it just wasn't a conversation that I was expecting to have. And I get it. And I understand his kids, for his safety, not wanting him to, you know, when you can't hear and can't see, you shouldn't be on a scooter where there's traffic around.
It's one of those classes they didn't offer us in seminary.
And it's also one of those things that you're just not prepared for. He's like, you know, I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to watch and listen when I can.
You're still an active member of this church.
But so what is the best way for me to minister to him? We've got, we've got other people in our church that some just haven't felt safe after COVID, and also in that, you know, 80 plus age bracket. Yeah. And so what do we do with that? And there are other people that their health has changed, and for seasons they've been out for, you know, 3, 4, 6 months at a time, then been back. But this is something that
Andrew, you and I have talked about at length before, because
different type of ministry that
we both feel like churches our size should shine when it comes to pastoral care, including pastoral care for shut-ins.
And one thing that I pride myself in is that I relate well to people that pastors in their 30s or early 40s typically don't. I led the Young at Heart ministry at my previous church. Mm-hmm. And when the when I came here, the big thing everyone was saying, you know, oh, all the old people are going to leave because they hired a young pastor, and none of the old people left.
That's not what happened.
And that is something that I am incredibly proud of, that I can, you know, reach out to young families that were not here before, but also endear myself to the older people.
Do you
people.
Think it helps that when we were both young, I'm assuming this is true for you, our churches were predominantly older people?
Yeah.
Because that was my church, and I absolutely loved it. Like, I don't know if that's weird.
Yeah, there was so much candy, so much money when we graduated from high school. That was awesome. Although when you graduated, where did you – because your senior year, your parents moved and left you in Jacksonville as an unaccompanied minor, right?
It was a bizarre year for sure.
So did you go to church your senior year with no adult supervision?
I did.
Good.
Absolutely.
So did you get lots of checks when you graduated?
I wish I got more, but –
But you got to buy yourself a nice compact Passario desktop or whatever people were buying.
It was a Dell Inspiron. Oh, there we go. I'll have you know.
Mine was a compact Passario.
I went with the 17.9-inch monitor. I just thought that was the coolest thing. It was the size of a coffee table.
Mine had the speakers that would slide into the monitor. It was so cool. I loved it. But the first ministry that anybody ever kind of gave me the reins on, there was an assisted care living facility, an ACLF, if you don't speak Florida, that was about 2 miles from the church that I grew up at, that had asked the deacons at my church for, to provide a service to. And the deacon said, well, of course we will, thinking that it was like a big nursing home. And they got there and it was like a 17-bed nursing home. They're like, we're not going to have any people tithe to our church from this place. And so they gave it to the youth group. And so me and three other high school boys were
great.
In charge of leading a weekly service
wow.
at White House ACLF on Nebraska Avenue in Palm Harbor, Florida. So from like my sophomore year of high school through my senior year, that was the first ministry that was ever like entrusted to me.
I love that.
But so, yeah, it was.
The Lord was just preparing you, Andrew.
It's wonderful, and I'm grateful for it. But now it's kind of a. It's been 24 hours of, okay, what do we do to minister to people that are a part of our church but can't come physically anymore? And it's not like, you know, these are not people that are super internet savvy,
right,
and are going to be tuning in and commenting during the live stream.
Right. So when we first went live, we experienced this with some of our elderly. So what – I mean, it's not just what I did, what we did, but I did visit a few. They handed me their iPad. I signed them into YouTube. I said, push this button at 9:30 on Sunday.
That's cool.
And it was awesome. Mm-hmm. So what we've done as elders, every month now, we have just a monthly checkup where we say, hey, how's it going? Have you checked on your people? So we've divided the congregation amongst all six of us as elders, and my elders have a job. They know that they are to contact their people at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them overlap because they're like, well, hey, that's my friend too. By all means, if you get contacted by more than one elder,
yeah,
there's no problem with that. But I think this should bleed into the shut-in ministry as well, because
then
it ensures they are getting reached out to, they're getting cared for, they're getting contacted. And if there's any specific needs, we as the church should be able to meet those, especially the ones whose like the family's not here.
Yeah.
We are their family. We should be able to meet those needs.
I'm debating whether on, you know, the first Sunday of the month, our communion Sundays, do I then kind of make rounds?
Yeah, I think we should. We could do it together.
Yeah. We can trade off. I'll do yours. You do mine.
I'm Tim. This is Andrew. Yeah. Every Tuesday we travel
every
around.
Every Tuesday we travel around.
Pinellas and Pasco.
We visit some shut-ins to let them know that 2 days ago was Sunday and this is the blood of Christ shed for you. No.
If you're looking for traveling communion, pastors, starting a side business.
But
I mean, why wouldn't we?
I mean, I don't know the side business part.
I'm not
shame on us, but
it's charge.
No, but
obviously,
but I think that might be a neat way, or, you know, hey, take an elder with you.
That's cool.
So I don't know. That's but
take an elder, or maybe there's an elder who that's
that
something
could
they would
be
love.
Their thing. Yeah,
not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all. We'll see.
Laura says, just like carpool karaoke. It's a carpool sacrament.
Yes, that's exactly
Laura,
what we were going
it's
for.
The exact same thing. I hope you have a blast in church on Sunday with the snakes.
I love it. Or we could bring snakes to the people's houses. Hey, you couldn't be there this morning.
Here's what you missed.
So we want you to have this snake.
Speaking of snakes, we need to go find a snake. But before we do, we have some people we need to thank. We're thankful for them, even though they do absolutely nothing for us. One of them is GettingReadyForMarriage.com.
Ready for Marriage does so much for us, Tim. You use it with your premarital counseling. I use it with my premarital counseling.
I just mean for the show, they've done absolutely nothing for us.
But we get all the Chapter 7 jokes.
We get a ton of Chapter 7 jokes. I'm currently going through this curriculum right now with a couple that's getting married in just a few weeks.
So before you click on to the next one, I'm going through this as well. But also, Joan Hill is going through this with a couple that is not connected to our church. And they're in their 50s. It's a second marriage for each of them. And they're going through this and loving it to the extent that they have bought copies of this for their adult children.
Okay.
So it's a thing where this is not a premarital guide for 22-year-olds that grew up in youth group exclusively. It's great for them as well, but this is I just love it. You know, these are adults
that's
who are
serious.
At a they're empty nesters. They have adult children who are married or getting married, and
I think
they are buying the Getting Ready for Marriage and the first few years of marriage books for their adult children because they are loving going through this so much.
I'm skipping ahead here because Ronald said that there is another middle school ministry podcast episode dropping today. Look, we're a proud part of the DYM podcast network.
Very proud part.
And if you're not following Ronald Long and the middle school ministry podcast,
what are you doing? I don't understand why you would not be doing that right now. That doesn't make any sense.
CJ says Andrew is changing the name of his church to the House of Slytherin of Jesus Christ.
I'm a Hufflepuff, but okay. It would be cool to be a parcel tongue, though. I've always thought.
I if you listen to the Practically Pastoring podcast last week, we went through an article. It was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. My favorite take from said article was the if your church, like the more adjectives used in front of the name of your church,
the weirder it is.
The weirder and the further away from that church you should stay. Just the House of Slytherin.
House of Slytherin of Jesus Christ would probably not be one that you'd want to go to. You know, one church that I did go to once.
And then you have to like shrink the font to fit it on one line. That's probably an issue.
That's an issue. I went to a church once in Arkansas, and I didn't go in, but I took my picture in front of the sign. It was called Booger Hollow. Booger Hollow Church of Christ. There's a town called Booger Hollow, and they thought, you know what we should name our church?
Right after the town.
Right after. It's kind of like Safety Harbor.
It's exactly only it like was Safety Harbor.
Booger Hollow.
You were Safety Boogers, and you're not. You're Safety Harbor.
What happens if you get that guy's resume in a couple of years? He's ready to move on to something else, and like, oh, I see here that you've been serving at Booger Hollow.
He just goes by, I don't know, BH. They start using acronyms.
Church of the Boog. Oh, man. Timmy, so tonight.
Yeah.
I have a city council meeting. Now, I'm not on the City of Safety Harbor City Council, but I attend the meetings regularly because.
For the record, ever since Andrew got obsessed with Parks and Rec, he's attempted to do all sorts of things with the city.
I had Larson for mayor, Safety Harbor, Florida t-shirts made up my senior year of high school. That late 90s, early 2000s era where everybody wanted to have the 18-year-old, you know, the Ice Town. You wanted to have the 18-year-old mayor, and I was convinced my buddies and I think the mayor of Safety Harbor at the time, her name was Pam Corbino. And so
we ran against Pam?
No, I didn't actually run. We like made up because my house had a sinkhole under it, and so my parents moved to Clearwater, so I no longer lived in Safety Harbor by the time the election. I would have been eligible
my freshman year
of college. But the joke was that I was going to run against Pam Corbino and expose all of her corruption. She's not a corrupt person. She's a wonderful lady. But like me and my friends, it's a good thing Facebook didn't exist yet because we did not have our brains developed enough to know that some jokes people would take too seriously. And we were going off on Larson for mayor. So it's just ironic that now I go to the city council meetings 3-4 times a year.
Do you still see Pam?
I have not seen her in a while, but I see her picture on the wall because there's the picture of all the former mayors of Safety Harbor in there. But I pray at city council meetings. They want one of the local pastors to offer
the
invocation.
Official prayee?
But here's the thing. I've been the only full-time like downtown pastor for several years. The Presbyterian Church just hired somebody that I believe is a full-time position, so that's exciting. I actually know him a little bit, so we're going to be getting lunch pretty soon. So maybe he'll be able to take on some of this. But so that's tonight. Thursday night, there is the Safety Harbor Rotary Club that we were talking about a few weeks ago.
For that one too?
They pray before every meeting. They have their inaugural banquet tonight at the Safety Harbor Spa. And so they've on Thursday night. So I'm showing up to the banquet just to pray and then leave because I wasn't about to spend $60 for a plate at a banquet that my wife wasn't going to be at.
Yeah, no thanks.
But still, I am the official prayer of the city.
Do you get a badge? Is there?
I should.
You need something.
One time I went to a city council meeting
decal.
And I told them that I was going to bring my kid with me to the meeting. And the mayor did this really cool thing where he gave Landon a key to the city.
That's cool.
And was like, here's, you know. Here's what it means to serve in your city.
Do you have two keys?
I was like, the key was like a little badge, like with the city crest on it.
I would want that.
And I was like, can I put that on my lapel? How does this work? But so I'm the City of Safety Harbor's official go-to prayer these days, and it's an odd title. And
I'm proud of you.
But it's like
you've worked a long time to elevate yourself to this.
It is a 2-minute prayer. And then I leave. But
it's
so
a very good prayer. He prays the same one every time.
So I'm here until
he manuscripts his prayers.
I'm here until 6:50 tonight.
Do you sit down when you pray?
I don't. I stand up to pray, but I hold on to the lectern.
But did Jesus sit to pray?
He did sometimes.
Wow.
But you know, so there's the podium.
So you do need to hold on. I get that.
I gotta hold on.
I don't want you to stand for too long
for leverage. And as soon as I say Amen,
I don't want you to overextend yourself during a 2-minute prayer.
I say Amen, and then I step back. And we do the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the city council meeting. And then
just glad you pray first.
And then I excuse myself because I don't really care about the agenda all that much. But You can tune in. I think it's going to be on the city's YouTube page, or it'll be streaming tonight.
We will drop a link in the show notes.
We can drop a link so you can watch the Safety Harbor City Council meeting.
Andrew will lean and pray.
I'll probably be wearing this very outfit. Do you think the jeans are inappropriate for a city council meeting?
The jeans are not inappropriate. Okay. The jeans are absolutely appropriate. It says, look, I'm Andrew. I'm also hip.
I'm hip and cool. I can
come to my church. I sit and preach.
Come to my church where we care about seniors and the youth.
Oof.
And the youth.
Wow. The youths.
So that's what I got going on this week. What do you got, Timmy? Anything excited?
CJ says, sounds like Sundays at a particular church in Dallas.
Where you say the Pledge of Allegiance? Listen, Dr. Jeffries used to come speak
in
chapel.
You're going
to
be so
when I was
proud of
a student in seminary. He gave me several copies of multiple books of his that I don't want.
I didn't put this on the show notes, but what I did do this morning. So in the update, iOS 16, in the Reminders app, you can now have categories and folders. So I actually broke down my work week Monday, Tuesday, and then inside of each one, you'll see that here's what I'm doing on Monday. I have my to-do list all week for what I'm getting done this week. So you're wondering what I'm doing. There it is, Monday through Friday. Getting back in the groove. Didn't preach last week. I am preaching this week. We've got a missions conference next week, and so it's a busy couple of weeks. Excited. Ready to get back to work. I'm feeling really good. It's probably because the Jaguars won.
I
didn't get a ton of sleep, so I know it's not because I'm well rested.
Yeah, what time did you get home last night?
I mean, it wasn't late, like 8:30. We left at 6:40 in the morning. I got to the game way too early because that's just who I am. Yeah. My son and I like to get to the practice field.
You go to the practice field. You run some routes. Yeah,
we run some routes. I do the quarterback challenge.
Do you say routes or routes?
You run your routes. I do the quarterback challenge, which I always fail miserably at. But I feel like I feel like the form is good.
Mm-hmm. Just not the accuracy.
The ball never goes where I want it to go. And we drove straight home after the game. Took forever to get out of there.
True Jacksonville boy. You've got some Tebow in you.
It's a 14-hour day, not one I could do every week, but hey, once or twice a season, I'm okay with that.
Are you going up again this season? Do you need a Thursday night game or something to be able to?
The Thursday night game is at New York. It's a Jets game on December 22nd. We've talked about it.
So Christmas week.
But I don't think it's going to happen. What my son is requesting, and if you know me, you know this, my son gets to pick one away game every year. He has actually picked the Detroit game, which
is great. Spirit Airlines.
Spirit flies
you can get to
Detroit
for $12.
Tickets are under $100.
Yeah.
It's literally cheaper to go to an away game than it is to a home game if you go to Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
I took my son's because I was trying to go to Detroit when I got COVID last Labor Day.
Yep.
For a Rays Tiger series. And so when Liam and I went in December, it was so cheap to get up there.
This is the beginning of December. He's never been in a dome for a football game. So
I thought
researching tickets this week.
Talk to Ken Leslie. Ken, if you're watching or listening, we love you, buddy.
Sure.
Ken will tell you what snow parks to go to. I think Pine Knob is one he sent me to.
Snow parks. I mean, yeah, we're gonna fly in basically same day, if not night before.
Well, they've got like that fake blown snow. It's a
maybe we'll fly in early on Saturday and spend Saturday in Detroit.
Go sledding. No, don't go. You don't want to be in Detroit. Let's be crazy.
Okay.
But, you can do Detroit-y things.
Detroit-y things.
Auburn Hills. Stay on the outskirts for your own safety.
But we can stay right by the stadium.
You should.
Just don't leave the room.
I guess. I don't know.
So we got a lot coming up.
Well, why don't we do this again in 2 weeks?
Not next week. We're out. Again,
big show number 200.
It's going to take 2 weeks to really get this show together.
I can't wait. I'll be there. You should come too.
We'll both be there. All right. Should be there.
See you in 2 weeks.
See you soon.
200.